Harley-Davidson just had their Q2 business update for 2026, and they've changed their anticipated income in a positive way for the remainder of 2026. Today, we're going to talk about the highlights, the back to the brick strategy, and this new positive income forecast. I'm going to start off with some of the highlights from this 2026 Q2 business update, but I do want to make you aware there are a lot of headlines I've already seen that are, well, in my opinion, misleading at the minimum. For example, Harley-Davidson misses revenue. So I read the article because I didn't see anything about missing a revenue goal in the business update. And they missed an expected revenue amount that some analyst pulled out of his ass that doesn't work for the company. To me, those are clickbait headlines. And you've got to watch that. I see a lot of that stuff where people make a dramatic headline just to get views. And I understand they want you to watch their video or read their article, but you should have some integrity about what you're using in your headline and not mislead people. I try not to do that. So North America is Harley-Davidson's biggest market, and North American retail sales are up 3% versus prior year, with over 29,000 units sold. Global sales are up 1% worldwide, and the U.S. touring market has increased to 68.5%. Dealer inventory is down 17% versus Q2 of 2025. It is one of the lowest levels we've seen in years for dealer inventory. This is important because dealers were getting saddled with shipments that they weren't able to sell under the previous CEO. It made the numbers for Harley-Davidson look good, but it was killing the dealer network. Artie Starrs, the new CEO, commented he's actually starting to get requests from dealers to ship more models. They need more bikes to sell. I know my local dealer is in that situation. Renegade Harley-Davidson has asked for more shipments. They were selling out ahead of target. During the financial aspect of the call, Jonathan Root, the CFO, pointed out that of that dealer inventory, a larger percentage is current model year this year than in the past. So that's a good sign. They've gotten rid of some of the older models, and they have more of the current model years in their inventory. Global motorcycle shipments, which is essentially wholesale sales from Harley-Davidson to the dealers, is up 9% versus the previous year. They shipped over 39,000 units, and they feel like the dealer inventory level is now more appropriate to where it needs to be to match retail sales. So we can expect that dealer shipments, wholesale shipments, this global motorcycle shipment statistic, is going to more closely align with retail sales going forward. The last two quarters, they have been shipping less motorcycles to dealers than what dealers were selling, trying to bring that inventory level down. HDI's net income was $80 million. That's down over 26% from previous year. And this is one of those numbers people are going to use in a headline. But what they're not talking about is HDI, which includes HDMC, the motorcycle branch, HDFS, the financing arm, and then LiveWire. Now, HDI is all of that consolidated. And yes, revenue is down. But most of that is attributed to HDFS going to a capital light operating model. They made this change last year. So everything we see going forward for HDFS for the rest of this year is going to be skewed as an apples to oranges, because last year they were still making this transition. They had not done it yet. This year they've made this transition to a different operating model. So the revenue from last year does not directly correlate to the revenue this year when you're trying to do comparisons. And that's what you need to know, not headlines that say Harley-Davidson revenue down 26%. And you need to remember, revenue being down doesn't mean they're losing money. Revenue isn't profit. Revenue is gross. So you have to bear that in mind as well. That doesn't mean that they lost less money, they made less money. It just means they didn't gross as much. You can cut costs and maintain your profit levels. HDMC, the motorcycle business, revenue was up 6% over prior year. That number was $1.1 billion in Q2. Now, this is a much better indicator of profitability, revenue being up, than the consolidated, which takes into account, again, the HDFS, which is apples to oranges. So this is a good indicator for the business's performance, and revenue is up 6%. And this is what I'm talking about with HDFS. Their revenue was down 55% because of this change in operation. But the indicator that really talks about how they're performing is loan originations were up 10% over prior year. Let's talk about the back to the brick strategy that Artie Starrs has implemented. He commented they've already seen meaningful progress toward these results. One of the key focuses is dealer profitability. Now, this is key because without a dealer network, there are no sales for Harley-Davidson. They cannot sell direct. Dealers need to be profitable. And of course, some people are going to be upset at dealers because they feel like they've been gouging them on prices. Now, one of the things I've heard through the grapevine was that the previous CEO cut the margins on many models, so Harley-Davidson dealers didn't make as much on those particular models. So increasing dealer profitability doesn't just mean making more money from me or you. It could mean saving on cost, like getting rid of the airport that was leased so Jochen Zeitz could have an airplane in Santa Fe or wherever it was where he lived. Yeah, I read that news article. Yeah, Harley-Davidson got rid of that. So they are doing things to cut costs, which could allow them to then have wider margins for their dealers, allowing more dealer profitability. Also, more volume can increase dealer profitability. This doesn't necessarily mean that they're getting more money from us as consumers. Could also mean that Harley makes a little less money from each model that allows the dealer to make a little more money. When Harley-Davidson introduced new models in January, we didn't see some dramatic increase in pricing. So that's another good sign that they're trying to attain this dealer profitability without just passing the cost on to the consumer. Another key focus is improving on execution, which sounds like an internal issue where they're just trying to focus on doing the things that they say they're going to do, obtaining these goals, executing on their strategy. And the other focus is restoring long-term growth. Now, to me, this is great because that means they're not focused on just getting a higher stock value by making some headline today or by having a higher margin on profit for their individual units at the dealer's expense. They're focused on the company's long-term health. And what this also tells me is all those videos about Artie Starrs is here to sell Harley-Davidson were, again, probably just clickbait or badly formed opinions of him based off of headlines that they read instead of doing actual research or having experience in this industry or in actual corporate mergers and acquisitions, maybe. The company is confident enough in this back-to-the-brick strategy that they've raised the guidance. That guidance predicted anywhere from a $40 million loss to a $10 million income previously. Now, they're expecting a $10 million to $50 million income. That's good news. Let's talk about some of the products they've launched and how that's impacting the business. They released a new Super Glide. Although it's a limited edition model, sales have been through the roof. Dealers have already got deposits on all their incoming models. Every dealer I've talked to says it's selling, and that's because the MSRP fits really well into the Softail lineup, and it solves a problem that the Street Bob had. This bike comes with a 5-gallon tank, more chrome, lace wheels, only for $1,000 more than the Street Bob. I don't know how they're going to sell a Street Bob as long as the Super Glide's out there. I expect we're going to see some changes in that model lineup next year. The Deadwood was just announced, which is a stripped-down Heritage in my opinion. Some people think slim. I think it applies, you know, more directly to a Heritage based on the fenders, the bars, the windshield, those kinds of things. But regardless of what it is a blacked-out, stripped-down version for less money. So yes, you get less, no bags like the Heritage has, but it's $5,000 less than a 2-up vivid black Heritage. It's more in line with what Harley-Davidson was calling blank canvas bikes that they said they were going to release more of in the future. It gives a place for someone who wants to customize or build a bike to start from without having to pay for things that they're just going to take off of the bike. They indicated the new redesigned trike is doing well. Sales are strong for it. I think dealers are having a hard time keeping them in inventory from what I hear. They sell them as fast as they get them. Whether you're heading out to Sturgis or just out for a long ride, if your Harley-Davidson requires a Bluetooth headset to activate CarPlay, this small bypass may be a simpler solution for you. Today's video is sponsored by Tiff Ziogu. They make a small CarPlay bypass unit, and it solves one of the most annoying issues with these new Harley-Davidson models. But before we go any further, let's get one thing straight. Your Harley-Davidson has to have CarPlay capability to begin with. This doesn't provide Android Auto or CarPlay. It simply removes the requirement of having a Bluetooth headset unit to be able to enable that functionality. So if you're not interested in using a Bluetooth headset unit, simply plug in this small USB-C pass-through device. You can see it's got power when the light starts flashing. Then you can pair it to your motorcycle in the device manager. After pairing the device to your motorcycle, simply pair your iPhone to the motorcycle and then you can enable CarPlay. For iPhone users, that's all you need to do. Google still isn't supporting Android Auto on two-wheel devices. To get that enabled on a new Harley, you're going to need one of those Android AI boxes. The bypass does not add Android Auto or CarPlay. It simply enables it without a Bluetooth headset. If your Harley has CarPlay from the factory, this little device is one of the coolest, most affordable upgrades you can do. And for my viewers, Tiff Ziogu is offering 20% off with the code OZARKS20 for 10 days after this video drops. I'll leave a link to it in the description down below. All right, let's get back to the video. Now, the CEO confirmed that the Sprint is coming in 2027, so I expect we won't see that till the new model year's launch, which I anticipate to be around November. The Sportster is coming back, but we're not expected to see that till next year. That was confirmed in the call as well. No details on the design, improvements, any of that stuff yet. Hopefully, we'll hear some things leak about that in the near future. They also mentioned that the Nightster is doing well. Now, they have split their motorcycle shipment categories out, and they have a new category called Sport and Lightweight. I assume that's where we're going to see the Sportster and the Sprint in the future, and they have a segment called Adventure Touring now. And so I assume that's the Pan America, and maybe possible future versions of the Pan America. Remember at one time we were expecting a 975, and that got held off? That doesn't mean they didn't go back and work on the redesign, and that might not still be a model we'll see in the future. Now, that Sport and Lightweight category was up like 45% this quarter over last year, so that's a good sign. They sold 1,000 more Rev Max models. I'm assuming mostly Nightsters based on that $10,000 entry-level price and based on the comments made in this call. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the financial numbers. Harley-Davidson's revenue was $1.23 billion. Now, that being down 6% is largely attributed, again, to the HDFS operating model change. Operating income for HDI was down 32%, again, attributed to the HDFS model change. They sold a bunch of loans off, so they're not making as much off loans, but they had a huge cash influx from that sale. HDMC, the motorcycle division's operating income, is up 18%. That also indicates to me that the company is becoming more heavy on manufacturing and making motorcycles and less heavy from an income perspective on financing. And I don't think that's a bad thing either. Now, LiveWire revenue was up 52%, but it's still a loss. They're still anticipating a loss for the year of $70 to $80 million. What is interesting is they bought Dust Motorcycles. So we might see a push for EV off-road motorcycles from LiveWire in the future, and I think that is actually a motorcycle segment that might make sense. When I was 15 years old, I had a dirt bike. I rode it almost every night after school for an hour or two. I could see a dirt bike EV that had a couple of hours worth of runtime being very popular, more so than a bike that is something that people commute on, like a Harley-Davidson cruiser, which is really where the original LiveWire kind of fit. It was a commuting cruiser, but you couldn't take it on any kind of long distance runs. I did see one in my local area, which is very rural, not urban, at a bike show this year. So it turns out we have a LiveWire somewhere in my small town. And they did about an 80-mile poker run with us and didn't run out of battery. So yay to them. Let's talk about this raised guidance because it's not just money. It's not just profit. It's shipments also. Retail sales, what they expect. So they were thinking that retail sales were going to be like 130 to 135,000 units. They've raised that up by 3,500 units. They're anticipating a high number of 138,500 in retail sales. They anticipate having wholesale shipments to match retail sales. So that means there will be more income, more revenue from shipping more motorcycles for Harley-Davidson on the wholesale side. So again, HDMC operating income is expected to be 10 to 50 million versus a possible loss of 40 million to a gain of $10 million that was previously anticipated. So those are good numbers. Out of the red and into the black. They also raised the guidance for HDFS, expecting more operating income from it. I'm sure that's based on having more loan originations this quarter over previous year. That number went from 45 to 60 million to 55 to 65 million. Now, what does this mean for you as a rider? Well, it means more products in the dealership from the current model years. more selection, less need for a dealer to pass cost on to you, that, you know, you can probably get a better deal because the dealers are more profitable. They're not hopefully going to be trying to gouge people as much. That's a problem that Harley-Davidson's got to work on. And hopefully by getting the dealer healthy, the dealer won't feel the need to try and gouge consumers. Now, the touring segment continues to dominate for Harley-Davidson, but with this focus on blank canvas models in the future and more models and trims being introduced in the next 2 years, I see Harley-Davidson focusing on more soft-tail models. We had a lot more soft-tail models in 2019 than we do today, so I think that portfolio is going to grow, and we're going to see a lot of models introduced that are less capital-intensive to get into, which will be soft-tails, Sportsters, maybe another Rev Max model. Like a, I really think that there's a place for a Pan America 975 if they can do it right. Maybe even a 700. Tenere 700 is very popular. We know we have a low-bob model coming, and I can't anticipate at least one other soft-tail model next year, but we'll have to wait and see what we get for sure. And when they come, I'm hearing in the grapevine and in the comments that the low-bob's not coming till 2027. So I do expect we'll see some more models mid-year, like we did see the Super Glide and the Deadwood this year. I think those mid-year model releases next year will be more soft-tails. All right, guys, here's my closing thoughts. I think Harley-Davidson's business is getting healthier and it's growing. We're seeing an increase in sales that's demonstrated, and I think the growth and healthiness goes together in fixing the dealer network. So I think Harley-Davidson is headed in the right direction, but I want to know in the comments, what do you guys think after hearing what my take is on this Q2 business update? Now, I think it'll still be hard to judge the true performance of HDFS till next year when we have an apples-to-apples comparison to this year, but I do like key indicators like more loan originations this year than last year. And I think raising the guidance is also a key indicator of Artie's confidence in the business. He's a new CEO. Last thing he wants to do is overpromise and underdeliver. So I think he's going to set expectations here and try and achieve here and set the bar higher than was anticipated. I think that's a great approach for the new CEO. And I'm excited to see what their company is doing in the next year. All right, guys, if you like this video, make sure you give it a big thumbs up. It really helps the channel grow. And consider subscribing if you want to see more content like this in the future. Don't forget to ring that bell to be notified the next time I drop a new video. And as always, y'all stay safe and keep on riding. We'll see you in the next one.